Last week, as you know, we spoke from the book of Proverbs on a woman and what it means to be a godly wife from Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4. And we used that as a springboard to look at all the verses in Proverbs that talk about a wife, so a wise and a foolish wife. Because here in chapter 12 of Proverbs and verse 4, you'll find that it's a contrasting proverb. And so there are two aspects that it talks about when it talks about a wife. It talks about the positive aspect and also the negative aspect. So verse 4 says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. That's the positive side. That's the wise wife. But she who causes shame is like rottenness to his bones. But then I promised the sisters that today, this evening, to balance things up, we will look at what the Proverbs have to say to husbands. Now, the interesting thing is that actually the Proverbs doesn't really have many verses, unfortunately, that speaks directly to husbands, as it does to wives. The word husband, actually, in Proverbs occurs only 6 times, and it's always in the context of a wife or some other issue, but it doesn't directly talk to husbands as husbands. Now, that doesn't mean husbands are going to get away with it. No, there is wisdom for husbands from the Proverbs, but it is not as direct as it is for wives. And besides, if I don't say anything about husbands, I think the wives will get really upset with me. So I think I need to say something to them. So let's look at the wisdom that we can draw from the book of Proverbs for husbands. Remember, we're looking at Proverbs, and we're just looking at different gems, different parts of Proverbs. We're not looking at it as a whole. And so when it comes to marriage, it's not exhaustive. It doesn't tell us everything about marriage. It only touches on certain areas. But these areas are important. And remember what we said last week, that this particular portion of the Proverbs, from chapter 10 all the way to chapter 22 and verse 16, you find that the Proverbs here seem to be fairly random. There's a running theme, but most of the time it seems to be fairly arbitrary. And what Solomon doing is really reflecting life, because in life, life is not neat and tidy. It doesn't come in compartments, does it? There isn't a running theme. Usually, even in one day, we may face lots of different issues where we need wisdom. And so, you know, it could be fairly random, even in one day. And so I think Solomon is reflecting, he's reflecting the randomness of life, that we need wisdom, even in one day, when different things come, we need different types of wisdom. But what can we learn about husbands from the Proverbs? So firstly, we're going to follow the same order as we did last week when we looked at the negative things and then the positive things. So firstly, we're going to look at the negative things. So we're going to look at the foolish husband, and then we're going to look at the wise husband. So firstly, we're going to look at the foolish husband who is contentious. The foolish husband who is contentious. Now, if you have the Bible open to the passage that was read earlier, Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 23-22. Now, this talks about the contentious man. And just as we looked at the contentious woman last week, the woman who is argumentative, who gets angry, the woman who is, always looking for a fight, if you like. We said that, you know, she pulled her house down, and it's better to live on the rooftop of your house than to live in the house with a contentious woman. But what about the contentious man? What about the quarrelsome, argumentative, angry man? What's it like to have a husband like this? Proverbs chapter 26, verse 17 to 28 makes reference to a string of troublemakers. So verse 17, it talks about a meddler who meddles in people's affairs. Verse 18 and 90 talks about the joker. Here is someone who makes a nasty remark about you, and they say, "I was only joking." But really, they meant it in the heart. But then it comes to the contentious man in verse 20. And this is what it says, verse 20. "Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases." So what is it saying here? So you have an open fire. Remember, this is poetry language. This is Proverbs. So you have an open fire. There's no wood on the grate. What will happen? The fire will just go out, won't it? Nothing will happen. It'll just die down. But look at verse 21. "As charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife." So you have a fire. It's going down. So what do? You add charcoal or you add wood to it, to the dying embers. And what happens? The fire is not going to go out, but the charcoal or the wood will provide fuel for the fire. And the fire will go up in flames. And so it's saying, so it is with a contentious and an argumentative man to kindle strife. In other words, just as wood is added to the fire or charcoal and it feeds the flame, so is an argumentative and contentious man. That's what he's like. He's like wood. He's like charcoal, who provokes disputes and quarrels, who inflames strife. Let me put it to you like this. If you stay in the presence of a contentious man long enough, just as charcoal is in the presence of fire long enough, it's just a matter of time before in your conversation you'll end up having an argument with them or a quarrel. Just as the wood goes up in flames. This is what it's saying. That's what it's like to be with a contentious man. How many husbands are like that with their wives? They quickly blow up like flames. They put their wives down. I remember when I was in my secular job, this is the housing department at Stafford Borough Council. There was a tenant, I think I've made reference to him before in the past. He was a likable rogue. His name was Sammy. He was quite a character. And you know what he loved to do? He loved to gather clutter. And then he would put it outside his house. He'd put it inside the house. And his house was a complete mess. And the neighbors would complain. And they would complain that the house smells and there's clutter everywhere and it doesn't look very pleasant. And his wife was very sickly, so she couldn't really do much. So because of all the complaints, I visited Sammy. And honestly, his house was like a scrapyard. He had car parts all over the place. There were oil stains. There was a lawnmower in his front room. The cooker was so dirty, you couldn't see the metal. It was filthy. And I told him, I said, look, Sammy, you need to clean this place. It is absolutely stinking. And it's affecting your neighbors. And you need to clean the outside as well. And I said to him, look, take some disinfectant, clean the place, and I'll be back in 7 days. And I followed up with a letter. I went back after 7 days because I said, if you don't do it, I'm going to serve a notice on you. I went back after 7 days, and he came out, and he said, oh, Mr. Ram, I've cleaned everything. And I looked, it was exactly the same. And he said, look, I've done what you've said. He got the disinfectant and he sprinkled it all over the place, and that's it. He didn't do anything else. He said, oh, look, you told me to use disinfectant. I said, no, what I meant to you is use disinfectant to clean and wipe everything. Then he went upstairs, because I needed to look upstairs as well, and his wife was sleeping in the bed. She was a big woman. She was very sickly. And I said to Sammy, is that your wife? He said, yes. And she spoke to me, and she said, hello. She spoke very gently. And then he said something. That just completely shocked me. He looked at her, and this is what he said. He said, ah, silly cow. I mean, that's what he said. And he said, what she needs is a good beating. And he hurled abuse at her, and he swore at her, and he used filthy language. And I was just shocked. I mean, I just didn't know where to put my face. And his language was really filthy. So he obviously was, if he could do it in front of me, a representative from the council, what does he do behind my back? He obviously was verbally and physically abusing her. And I went back, I reported it to social services, who eventually removed her and took her into care for her safety. Sammy was a contentious husband. How many husbands? You may not be that bad, but how many husbands are like this? Argumentative, contentious. You fly off the handle. My dad was a contentious husband and father. He would regularly get into fights at the pub. Sometimes he'd come home with a cut in his head, and he would be bleeding. And we lived in fear of him. No, we were on eggshells all the time, not knowing whether to do this or to do that. He was unpredictable. He was a contentious man. But over the years, he mellowed, and eventually he became a Christian, and he mellowed even more. But are we like this? Contentious men. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, that wives are the weaker gender. Women, that's not an insult to you. Okay, don't take it offensively. It's what the Bible says. Physically, if you have an arm wrestle with your husband, you probably, even if you are bigger than him and he's smaller than you, he'll probably still beat you. Men are physically stronger. Emotionally, women are very different to men. Maybe they do things that irritate you. Maybe they nag. Do we explode? Are we contentious? Do we say, oh, don't go on about that again? Is your wife, is she frightened of you? Are you an unpredictable husband? You love to pick an argument. You love to put her down. You love to insult her. Verbally, you may not hit her, but verbally you are abusive. When she does something, it's like, Oh. Do we do that all the time? Contentious? Maybe you insult her. You've lost your looks. You put weight on. Maybe we criticize them. It is very, very hard to live with a contentious husband. A contentious husband needs to learn from Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 22, if you turn to it. It says this: understanding is a wellspring of life to him who has it, but the correction of fools is folly. Husbands, it says in Peter, live with your wives with understanding. Think of Jesus. He's our bridegroom. We're the bride. Are we perfect? But he's understanding. He's the sympathetic high priest. Be understanding towards your wives. And be open to correction. If you're not, you are a fool. Okay, what about the second thing then? The second negative thing. This is again talking about the foolish husband. Turn to Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 8. Proverbs chapter 27. And this is talking about the fact that he is irresponsible. He is irresponsible. Look at verse 8, it says this: like a bird that wanders from its nest is a man who wanders from his place. This is talking about an irresponsible husband. He's irresponsible towards his family. He's a wanderer. He's like a bird. A bird has its chicks, but the bird just wanders off and he leaves. It leaves the chicks. He abandons them. This is what this man is like, who abandons his family, who leaves his family. He abandons his wife. He abandons his children. Now, I'm sure most people don't go this far when it comes to abandoning your family. But do we neglect our families? Do we neglect our responsibilities? Do we leave the wife to struggle on her own with the family? So that she feels, although she's married, she feels like a widow. Her husband is never there. He's like a wandering bird. Oh, I've got to go out. I've got to see a friend. I've just got a few things to do. But they totally and completely neglect their wife and their children. And the family, they just fall apart. This is an irresponsible husband. Your wife asks you to do something, but you don't listen. You know, the machine needs fixing. Maybe, I don't know, the washing machine or something. The iron is broken. The family are suffering. It's been 5 months of you, and you've not done anything about it. One of the biggest complaints wives make about their husbands is that husbands don't listen to them. Is that correct? Okay, don't embarrass your husband, okay? Is that they don't listen. She's talking to you about some difficulty with the children or some problem or something, and you're there listening and you say, what are we going to have for dinner? Oh, you know what? What time is the football match on? You are listening, but you are not listening. Your brain is elsewhere. We are just useless, irresponsible husbands. You never listen. You never engage with the children. You're like an absent father, absent husband. You're like a nomad, a tramp, traveling from place to place, a wanderer who abandons his family. You know, but the glorious thing is our bridegroom Jesus, he never abandons his wife, does he? The church. The Bible says he will never leave us or forsake us. Don't be an irresponsible husband. Thirdly, then, this is the foolish husband. Before I move on to that, the third complaint. The foolish husband is unfaithful. He is unfaithful. Now, we looked at Proverbs 5. This was one of the talks that Solomon gave to his young children, to his son. And it's a very, very important talk. So we've looked at this. But chapter 5 and verse 18 says this. It says, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. Now, the context here that it's talking about here, it's the sexual relationship. It's saying to the husband, don't be tempted by or led astray by a loose woman or a prostitute or the seductress of Proverbs chapter 5. Look at what he says of that particular person, a seductress. Chapter 5 and verse 3. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey. She uses her mouth to attract men. Again, look at verse 3, the second part. And her mouth is smoother than oil. So she uses smooth words to seduce people. It's saying here, be careful. Verse 3 to 5. Don't think of short-term pleasure, but think of the long-term hurt and the long-term implications for your marriage. She is like a sweet that's laced with poison. Verse 5, her feet take you to death and hell and destruction. Verse 8, remove your way far from her and do not go near the door of her house. Why? Because in verse 9 to 10 it says you'll be wasting your life. Solomon is arguing here that, look, it can take years and years to build our lives and our reputations and our relationships. Don't ruin it. Don't ruin even your wealth with prostitutes and pornography and drink and drugs and pimps. And that's why he goes on to say, rejoice. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. Be faithful to your wife. Because he's arguing here, marriage is the right place for sexual relationships. It's a positive and good thing within the context of marriage. Verse 15, drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. But this can be a problem to many husbands, maybe more so than women. Husbands need to be faithful to their wives, not only in their actions, but in their minds and in their hearts. To flee from temptation, especially these days on the internet and with pornography and all that type of stuff, it's a big problem. When I was in India, this is in Pune, a few years ago, we did a conference there, and I was speaking from the Sermon on the Mount. And I came to the part where it talks about adultery and adultery in the heart. And I spoke about pornography. And there was a question and answer session. And this one man, he was a Christian. And quite openly, he asked a question. He said, look, you know, in India, we don't talk about these things in churches. They don't really open up about these things. But he was very appreciative that I'd spoken about it. And he said to me, he said, it's a big problem amongst men. And he said, I struggle with it. He said, I have my phone and I struggle with it. He said, what should I do? One of the things I said to him was to adjust his lifestyle so that you do not put yourself in the way of danger and temptation. If it's a problem, put your computer in the main living rooms where everybody is. Let your wife consistently check your computer to make you accountable. If you find it impossible to regulate yourself, be faithful. Faithful to your wife. The wife of your youth. We praise God, don't we? Jesus, here again, who is our bridegroom. Even when we are unfaithful, he is faithful to us. So these are three negative things. And again, I'm just restricting this to the book of Proverbs. I know there's lots of other things the Bible says about husbands, but we're just restricting this to Proverbs. So, a foolish husband is contentious, he's irresponsible, and he is unfaithful. Okay, let's have a look at the positive aspects of how a husband should be. So, this is talking now about the wise husband. Now, for this, we need to go to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs 31. And you think, well, why Proverbs 31? Isn't this talking about the virtuous woman, not the man? That is absolutely correct. And we looked at this in detail last week. But I think there's things here that we can draw out for a husband as well that are really, really important. So it's talking about the godly character of a woman. But there are certain traits that are pointed out here that a husband should have. The first thing is this. He needs to trust her. He needs to trust his wife. This is a wise husband. Look at chapter 31 and verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of a husband safely trusts her. He safely trusts her. Wives want to be trusted. She needs to know that you as a husband, that you have confidence in her and you trust her. When she does something, instead of knocking her, give her confidence. Instead of putting her down, encourage her. She's going to make mistakes. Rather than criticizing her, inspire her rather than rebuking her. When you drive, do you trust your wife to drive? Many husbands panic. Therefore, men will never sit in the car when their wives are driving. They feel so insecure. And if that is the case, then she doesn't have your confidence. A godly husband trusts his wife. Now, of course, she also needs to gain her husband's trust. That's important. And that comes with time and with experience. If she deliberately and consistently does something wrong to upset her husband, then obviously trust is broken. But the husband's attitude, his disposition, should be of trust wanting to trust her. And there should be openness in marriage. Trusting each other involves taking risks. It involves confessing your failings and your sins to each other and pointing them out in each other. Trusting each other to be honest and truthful. This is crucial. Someone has said this: if you don't carry your rubbish out, throw your rubbish out of your house at the end of the week, what will happen? Your house will begin to smell, won't it? It'll stink, and it'll become like a dump. The same is true about marriage. If we don't trust each other to point each other's faults out, and I'm not in love, of course, I'm not saying we do this all the time, but it's a useful exercise to do from time to time. If we don't do this, you find that the rubbish will build up in your marriage, and it's not dealt with, and soon your marriage will begin to stink and smell, and it'll go downhill. Trust is needed in marriage. Without trust, you cannot function. If you don't trust your wife, you know what you'll do? You will suffocate her, absolutely suffocate her. You will not give her the space and the time to develop and grow. And it will ruin your relationship. The heart of a husband trusts her. That's a positive. Secondly, chapter 31, verse 28. A husband praises his wife. He praises his wife. Look at verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also. And he praises her. Now, of course, the context here is of a godly wife who has a godly character. Her children praise her. Her husband praises her as well. But praise is absolutely crucial. You can, husbands, you can make your wife walk on air if you praise her. Jürgen Klopp is the manager of Liverpool Football Club, and he's probably one of the most successful managers in the world at the time, and he's a very likable manager. In fact, I've heard him say that the most important person in my life is Jesus Christ, and people say that he's a Christian. Now, whether he's a nominal Christian or a born-again Christian, I don't really know, but I have heard him say that the most important person in my life is Jesus Christ. Now, with Jürgen Klopp, he can probably sign for any country or any team in the world that's looking for a manager, because he's so popular and he's so good. And he even said, he said, look, I can go anywhere, to any city. I mean, obviously in Liverpool it rains all the time, and it's not the best weather in the UK. And he can move to Spain where it's sunny. But you know what he said? I love Liverpool. I love the city. I love the people. We're one family. And he said, my wife loves Liverpool and the people and the city. And so does my daughter. And he said this about his wife. He says, when my wife is happy, I'm happy. Because he said, the best contract I ever signed in my life was not for a football club, but it's the contract I signed with my wife. My marriage contract. He said that in public. Now, can you imagine how that makes his wife feel? He praised her. But you may say, well, that's okay for him, but you don't know my wife. You know, look, if I praise you, I'm lying. Because I find very few things to praise her about. If you praise her and you lie, that's just flattery. That's not being truthful. No one expects a husband to do that, to lie, just to make her feel good or just to make it look as if you are praising her. Praising her is not lying. If there are flaws in your wife, let's say she gets angry quickly, let's say she says something nasty to you, you say, what can I say? How can I praise my wife? But I am sure if we really look, there are lots of areas where you can genuinely praise her. And it's true. Even in little things. And that'll make her feel loved and valued and appreciated. Wives function well when they are praised and they are appreciated. The problem with us men is that we do not praise them enough. When was the last time you praised your wife? I asked myself the same thing. You can ask my wife afterwards if you want. When was the last time we praised our wives? She cooked you a meal. Did you ever praise her and say thank you? That was really nice. Have you taken her for granted? You know, she looks after the kids. Do you praise her? She does the ironing. Cleans the house. Have you ever encouraged her? Praising is important. And your wife will thrive and walk on air at times. Brothers, we need a lot of wisdom these days for our marriages. And I really do pray that the Lord will help us. I mean, this is just a little bit of wisdom from the book of Proverbs. It's fairly limited, but it's important. But husbands, don't be a foolish husband. A husband who is contentious is very, very, very difficult to live with. A husband who is irresponsible, a husband who is unfaithful. Be wise. Trust your wife. Praise your wife. And although it's not stated here in the Proverbs, above everything else, love your wives as Christ loved the church. The church has imperfections. The church is far from perfect. The church has weaknesses. We are not lovable. We have failings. And yet Christ loves his church unconditionally. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. May the Lord help us to be wise as husbands. Amen.